1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. This was the scripture that Bill used for our Sunday school lesson this morning, but we're going to go back to it tonight and just read part of it. Here's what the Bible says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the resurrection of our Savior. And I pray that as we spend some time now talking about it again, that you would impress upon everyone that hears the importance of the resurrection, what it means to us as Christians, and what it offers to sinners. It offers to them a way of escape for their sins. And I pray for those that are listening during this time that don't know Christ, that Holy Spirit, you'll speak to them and you'll bring them to the Savior. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to speak on the greatest doctrine of the Christian faith, the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the foundation for other great Bible doctrines. And let me just give you a few examples. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, as the Bible says, then the Bible is not the verbally inspired, inherent, infallible word of God. Five times before his death, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." One time he said, "I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." He said that in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Five times he predicted that he would rise from the dead. If the resurrection is not true, then the Bible is not the inspired word of God. Let me give you another example that the resurrection is a foundation for many of our other doctrines. If Jesus is not resurrected, then we have no gospel to preach. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures." No resurrection, no gospel. Another example. The resurrection is the basis for our justification. Romans 4:25 says, "He was raised again for our justification." Another example. The resurrection is the foundation for the deity of Jesus. Jesus, the foundation for the fact and the doctrine that Jesus is God is the resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." And so the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation for many of the other basic beliefs that we have in Christianity. The resurrection also distinguishes and makes Christianity different and superior to all other religions. Because Christianity begins where all other religions end. All other religions point to a founder and a founder's grave. Christianity points to an empty tomb and says, that's where our founder was buried, but he's not there. He rose again the third day. Satan hates the doctrine of the resurrection. Before Jesus died, Satan put it in people's minds to deny the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And some people say that's why they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. The church at Corinth doubted it. And Paul wrote the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to try to help them. He asked them the question in verse 12 of that chapter, "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" I mean, what did you believe? What, this, you believed when you got saved that the resurrection was true. How can you doubt that now? The resurrection is mentioned over 40 times in the New Testament. It was the central theme of the disciples' preaching in Acts. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." In Acts chapter 1, when they chose the disciple to replace Judas, they said, "We want to choose one to be a witness with us of his resurrection." In this time that we spend in this evening service of Easter Sunday, I want to cover 3 points. I want to talk to you about the prophecy of the resurrection. I want to talk to you about the proof of the resurrection. And number 3, I want to talk to you about the purpose of the resurrection. So let's first of all look at the prophecy of the resurrection. Long before Jesus was born, it was prophesied that he would be raised from the dead. In Psalm 16:10, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." In Jesus' day, the Jews believed that corruption set in on the fourth day. On that fourth day, their soul departed. The fourth day after a person died, their soul departed and corruption set in. You remember when Lazarus died and he came and he delayed his coming. So that Lazarus would be dead for 4 days. And he had already laid in the tomb for 4 days. And when Jesus said, "Hey, take away the stone," Martha said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." That's in John 11:39. The body of Jesus, as it says in Psalm, was not allowed to see corruption because it was resurrected on the third day. In Matthew chapter 12, certain scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." And here's how he answered them. "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said, "You want a sign? Okay, I'm going to give you a sign. On the third day, I'll come out of the grave. Then you'll know I'm the Son of God." The resurrection was prophesied not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. If Jesus had not resurrected from the dead, we'd written him off as another imposter. Josephus, the historian, the Jewish historian, said in Jesus' day, there were many that claim to be Christ. But Jesus said, "I'll give you a sign. I'll come out of the grave." And he did. A skeptic said to a little girl one time, "I hear you talking about Christ. There were many. Which one do you believe?" And that little girl said, "I believe in the one that rose from the dead, the one that we worship today, the one that didn't stay in the tomb." In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." He said in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Again, they thought he was talking about Solomon's temple, but he was talking about the temple of his body. Again and again, the Bible says that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. We believe that the Bible is the word of God. If for no other grounds, on the grounds of the fulfilled prophecy of the resurrection. No man knew these things ahead of time. No man could predict them. I mean, man can't even predict the weather. I mean, in fact, one weatherman said, "I'm moving to a different town because the weather in this town doesn't agree with me." They never say it's going to rain. They always say there's going to be a 20 or 30% chance of rain. Men does not know. Men cannot give prophecy because men don't know the future. The Bible is one of the few religious books that contains prophecy. Others don't put it in because they don't know what's going to happen. And if they put it in and it didn't happen, their books would be discredited. But God dares to predict the future because the future happens just the way that God tells us it's going to happen in his prophecy. Martin Luther said, "Oh, our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection, not in books alone, not just in the Bible, but in every leaf in springtime. Nature itself testifies to the resurrection." So the resurrection was prophesied in the Word of God, in the Old Testament and many times in the New Testament. Now, let's move to the second thing we're going to talk about, the proof of the resurrection. Okay? Human reasoning is a proof of the resurrection. They had a trial. They condemned Christ. They scourged him. They crucified him. They placed him in a tomb that, again, that man had never laid in. The religious leaders came to Pilate and they said, "Hey, remember what this fellow said? He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. If his disciples come and steal his body, we'll never get Christianity quieted down. Make sure that the disciples don't steal his body." And so they did two things. On his tomb, they put a Roman seal. Now, if somebody broke that seal, it meant death. And the Romans dared anybody to break it because the whole Roman Empire stood behind the sanctity of that seal. It was not to be broken. And then the Bible says they stationed guards around the tomb. How many? I don't know. They put 16 to guard Paul when he was in the Roman jail. And so I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how many were there. Could have been 16, could have been more. And for 3 days, they stood guard. Now, if Jesus came out, was he man or was he God? If he was man, the only way he could come out were his friends would have to steal his body out of the tomb. And they couldn't do that because the Roman seal was on the tomb and the Roman soldiers guarded it. His enemies wouldn't do it. The only alternative, again, this is human reasoning. The only way that Jesus could get out of the tomb was for God to do it. In Hebrews 13:20, the Bible says, "Now to God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Human reasoning is a proof of the resurrection. There's no way that Jesus could have got out of the tomb unless God did it and brought him out alive. Then there's the testimony of the 500 witnesses. Bill mentioned this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. At a trial, the witness of one or two would make a difference. What would the witness of 500 mean? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, Paul says, "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep." Some say, well, those people were hallucinating. 500 having the same hallucination at the same time? The time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, most of those 500 were still alive. Most of the 500 were still testifying that said, "I saw him after he came out of the tomb." Not only were they willing to say it, they were willing to say it in a time when their lives would be taken from them, their homes, their possessions, their families would be taken from them if they testified about Christ. And the witnesses that saw him after he came out of the tomb, they were willing to tell anybody they met, "I've seen the risen Savior." You want a proof of the resurrection? Look at how Jesus changes lives today. Alcoholics giving up alcohol. Drug addicts giving up their drugs. Sinners giving up their sin. Doing without the alcohol. Doing without the drugs. Doing without the sin. No dead God could make a difference in people's lives like that. Only a resurrected Christ could. Then there's the testimony of the angels that we read about in Luke in the morning service or in Matthew. He is not here, for he is risen. Then there's also the testimony of the devils. In Acts chapter 19, listen to this. Some were trying to cast out demons. And the demon said to them, Jesus I know. Not said, Jesus I have known, but Jesus I know. In the present tense, the devils testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then there's the testimony of time. As time passes, it blocks out the lesser names of history. Harry Reimer was a preacher and a Bible scholar. He lectured to many Jews. After one of his lectures, a young Jewish man came up to Harry Reimer and asked Harry Reimer, what did Jesus Christ do that no one else did? And Harry Reimer said this, early in the history of your people, again, he was talking to this young Jewish man, early in the history of your people, the Romans crucified thousands of Jews. I'll name one, you name another. The one that I'll name is Jesus Christ. Now give me the name of another Jew that the Romans crucified. That young man couldn't do that. What did Jesus do that no one else did? He came out of the tomb. He was resurrected. I could give many, many proofs, scientific, archaeological. In fact, let me just give you one. 40 years or so ago in Jerusalem, a man by the name of General Gordon uncovered a tomb. They scraped up some dirt. And again, this was the tomb that Christ was supposedly buried in. They scraped up some dirt. They did a chemical analysis. They made the conclusion that no human body ever decayed in this tomb. Now, I don't know. And they call this place Gordon Tomb today. And some people believe it was the place that Jesus lay. And I don't know if that's true or not. But I know his body didn't decay. I know he came out of that tomb alive. I don't know if Joseph used that tomb after he loaned it to Jesus or not. Maybe he thought it was too a sacred a place and it stood empty after Christ used it for 3 days forever and ever. And maybe that's the tomb that Colonel Gordon or General Gordon found. I don't know. But I know this. A reasonable woman can't examine the proofs of the resurrection and come away believing that Jesus did not come back from the dead. Some years ago, two brilliant atheists met in England. And they said, if we can disprove two things, we can destroy Christianity. How about, they said to one another, you study one, I'll study the other. They said, here's the two things we're going to disprove. We're going to disprove the resurrection, and we're going to disprove the conversion of Saul. Saul of Tarsus, his conversion on the road to Damascus. Let's each study those things for a year. We'll meet back here in a year. We'll disprove those two things, and we'll discredit Christianity. And so one studied the resurrection. He studied the scripture. He studied all the proofs. All the prophecy, he studied all the proofs of the resurrection. The other one said, I'm going to study the life of Saul, the life of Paul. And he did. The scripture, secular books, things that Paul wrote in the Bible. They met in a year, and the one that was studying Paul's conversion said, he was converted, and I've met the same Christ. And the other one that studied the resurrection said, hey, he's alive. He was dead, and now he's alive. When the angel says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He wasn't there because he's alive, and I've received him as my Savior too. So any honest person that studies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in all probability, will come to know him as their Savior. One man went to the religious editor of the newspaper and said, "Our preacher said about Jesus that on the cross he just swooned, that he never really died, and the disciples just nursed him back from that swooning on the cross." And here's what the religious editor said. "You go back to your preacher and you tell him that we're going to beat him with a cat of nine tails 39 times. We're going to nail him on a cross and we're going to hang him in the sun for 6 hours. And then we're going to run a spear for him. We're going to wrap his body with spices and put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours. And then we're going to see what happens." Jesus didn't swoon on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was laid in the tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, he came out of that tomb alive. Now, quickly, let's look at the purpose of his resurrection. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible tells us that he was raised for our justification. That word justification means we were declared by God to be just as if we've never sinned. Regeneration is something that happens to you. Justification is something that happens in the mind of God. Again, when God justifies us, he sees us as if we've never sinned. He sees me and he sees you. And as far as he's concerned, you've never sinned. You've never broken a law. He sees us through his son. In Hebrews 9, verse 26, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, the purpose of the resurrection was for our justification. Number two, it proves that he's God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then number three, it completes the gospel. If we only preach the death of Jesus Christ, we haven't preached the gospel. If we only preach the burial of Jesus Christ, the death and burial of Jesus Christ, we haven't preached the gospel. We haven't preached the gospel until we preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I read a story about a man that stood before a department store window. He was looking at a picture of Jesus on the cross. A little boy that had gone to Sunday school his whole life, that had learned something about the crucifixion, came up and stood beside the man and looked at the picture with him. He said, "Mister, that's Jesus on the cross." The man didn't say a word. He just kept looking at the picture. The little boy went on and said, "Mister, them soldiers there, they killed him." The man didn't say a word, just kept looking at the picture. Little boy went on and said, "Mister, them disciples there, they buried him." And without a word, the man walked away. He got about a block away and the little boy started to run after him to catch him. The man heard the sounds of little footsteps behind him and he looked back and the little boy cried out and said, "Mister, I forgot to tell you, he came out of the grave on the third day." As we look at the picture of Jesus in this book, we see a perfect life. We see his death. We see his burial. Let me proclaim to you what the angel said. He's not here, for he is risen. 2,000 years ago, God took every sin that we will ever commit, and he placed them on Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." God laid on him every one of our sins. On the cross, he paid the debt that we owed. He said as he hung there, "It is finished. The full payment is made." They took him down, they buried him, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, saying, "It is finished. God's justice is satisfied. Sin has been paid for." Would you believe that? Would you trust him? Would you do it now? He died, was buried, and resurrected for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that? Would you ask Jesus to save you from the penalty of your sin? And Christian, would you rejoice that we have a risen Savior? He's alive. He's in the world today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the prophecy. Thank you for the proof. And thank you for doing it for us. We know that we wouldn't have a relationship with you unless it was for what Jesus did as he died, was buried, and was resurrected. I pray for those that need to receive him. I pray for those that have received him. Help us to rejoice this time of year in the resurrection of our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.